This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Turn me to Luke chapter 21. We're going to continue to share on the very word for 2016. Last week we talked about the sure mercies of David, which is primarily that God is going to lead us with confidence even in such a time as this. You know, I say last week, there's no shadow of doubt that God wants to lead us and He know how to lead. He's a great shepherd. He's a great leader. He lead us so well, and His faithfulness and His mercy towards us is so sure. A lot of time, the issue is us, whether we were yield to Him, like what John chapter 21, verse 18, Jesus called us to stretch out our hand and let Him lead us. And then in verse 19, He challenged Peter, which is so relevant for every one of us. He said, Peter, will you follow me? You know, a lot of time, the Lord wants to lead us. You know, I always say this, you know, my confidence is not in my ability to follow Jesus. Yes, I want to lead, I want to follow Him, but my confidence is not in His ability to follow Him. My ability to follow Him, but my confidence is in His ability to lead me. So my confidence is not about how I can respond. Yes, I will respond. But when I respond, if I respond the 0.1%, the Lord is going to top up with the 99.9%. Because it's always about His great leadership. You know, we will never be good enough, but yet the 0.1% is so important. We have to respond. The Lord can't lead us if we choose not to follow Him. Well, He can tighten the screw. He know how to lead us. He may make things a little bit difficult so that we will turn to Him. So that is about the leadership of God. And it's so vital for us, especially in such a time as this. We are, you know, you look around the world, we are living in unprecedented time, you know, uncharted water. We can plan all we want, but this great uncertainty, you know, if you read news, end of last year and early this year, one of the words they use for 2017 is you can expect the unexpected. You know, when come to a point when you can expect the unexpected, there's only one person who is consistent. That is God. That is God. Because every plan, every confidence that we place upon, if it's not God, it will be shaken. I say everything that can be shaken will be shaken. No, I'm not saying this to cause fear. I'm saying this to cause a response. Because if we respond correctly, this is the finest hour for the Church of Jesus Christ. Victory is ours. Victory is attainable. Victory is available. So this entire four Fridays, the message is not about dooms and gloom. No, I mean, we need to understand the real situation. But the reality is that we understand the real situation. We put confidence in the one person who know how to lead. He's in His sovereign. He's in total control. His mercy is sure. If He show the sure mercies today, David, who is as weak as us, we can find confidence in Him and Him alone. Because it's His gentleness that makes David great. This will be our greatest hour if our confidence is following Jesus. And don't even argue about it. You know, sometimes we are too smart. You know, that's why Bible say God used the foolish. Because the foolish, you know, just blindly follow. You know, there's only one person you should blindly follow. Okay, not me. Okay, it's the Lord, because His plan is perfect for us. Today I'm going to talk about being a house of wise and watchful. When I say being the house, I'm not just talking about the house of prayer. Being the house means primarily the people of God. You know, Jesus three times in the gospel quoted Isaiah 56 verse 7: "My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations." In fact, every church is a house of prayer. There's only one house of prayer in the entire body of Christ. We are a house of prayer, but we are not the house of prayer. So when I say being a house of wise and watchful, it's not just pertaining to a few houses of prayer in Singapore, but it's pertaining to every body of Christ, because it's so important. If there's four words that you need to know, and this is not about passing exams, okay? No. If there's four words that you need to hold on to and cultivate your life, is this four: watch, pray, wise, faithful. I'm going to explain to you through the scripture. Watch, pray, wise, and faithful. Because all four are connected. And one of the great dangers is we all assume that we are wise. We all assume that we are faithful. But the reality a lot of time is not. No, we assume. I will say some inverted comma, strong word, lovingly, because sometimes we need to know, because it's not good to hear just some false comfort, just some affirmation that actually is not true. Because at the end of the day, I want the Lord to tell me who I am, what is the condition of my heart, not how people say about me. Because how people say about me, how people define me is unimportant. Just look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. The church of Sardis. In the eyes of the world, the church of Sardis is vibrant, alive, full of activity. When the world look at the church, they say, wow, this is an exciting church. This is an happening church. But you read what Jesus said. The world think that you are alive, but in my eyes, you are dead. Wow. It's a danger, because we can assume. A lot of time we are assuming. No, people say, yeah, Kishong, are you being very hard and being very harsh? No, I'm being pastoral. I rather we know who we are, and there's grace. And God is merciful. When we turn to Him, there will be grace. That's why it's so important, especially when we live in the environment where there is that constantly talking about the message and so on, we all assume that automatically we become, we blend in and so on. No, if we don't lift a finger and respond to God, no, when I say lift a finger, it's not literal, it's just using an example, we will not grow. When we do something, when we respond to God, it's not about earning it. It's about receiving from the Lord. That's why it's so important. Being wise and watchful is the most important word that we need to know. More than just need to know, we need to respond. Irregardless of how old you are, how young you are, your gender, what you do, this is the most important word for us right now. Being wise and watchful. If we believe that we are living in the time where Jesus is about to return, there's an impending crisis that's coming, with no shadow of a doubt. But yet, on the other side, the trick is that there's a unique dynamic of that. Darkness is going to increase. On the other hand, light is going to be brighter. There'll be a greatest crisis that is about to hit the surface of this earth. Now we are seeing it's escalating. We are raising towards that. But the greatest revival and the glory of God is coming too. But we cannot assume that we will automatically be ready. The Bible consistently teaches that we have to prepare. If we make ourselves ready, this is going to be the finest hour of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's why this four words is so important. Watch, pray, wise, faithful. Because I think it's December 2012. Wow, it's about 4 years ago. You know? 4 years ago, I'm still not 50 yet. You know? Today, I'm 26. Times two, second time. I share about this word, being a house of wise and watchful. I just feel that God just stirred my heart to speak again, to share, because it's even more important. No? If it's so important 4 years ago, so relevant 4 years ago, it's even more important 4 years later. Because we are seeing, I was running through some of the notes and so on, I said, wow. It's so prophetic. No, not that I'm prophetic. The word of God is so prophetic. We are seeing many things that is happening. You know, over the years, I've seen many things, you know, but I'm not trying to prove that I'm right. A lot of time I wish that I was wrong, you know. Like more than 10 years ago, I say that, you know, this LGBT issue will become an issue worldwide, even in Singapore. No one pay much attention. You know, over the last 2-3 years, we see a literal shift. There is that pushing of the boundary nationwide, and Singapore is not spared. We cannot assume that everything will be normal. We are seeing this right now. That's why this forward is so vital. Watch, pray. I'm going to define it and from the scripture. What does that mean? Why Jesus insists and is so important for us? Watch, pray, wise, faithful. Okay, turning me to Luke 21, verse 26. Because these are keys that will position ourselves to grow with understanding and grow strength so that we will be strengthened to stand in the coming storm. No, you see, people say, oh, your message is very negative. No, my message is not negative if you hear it correctly. I don't hide away from talking about coming crisis, but there is an answer from the Word of God. If we are being wise, if we are watchful, if we pray, if we are faithful until the very end, if we focus on this 14 and engage the heart of God, we will grow with understanding. Understanding is one of the most important things right now. A lot of time, even right now around the world, including many people of God, body of Christ, we are unaware what is about to happen. We think everything is fine. We are way past peacetime. Way past peacetime. We are in war, inverted comma. No, when I say war, I'm not talking about literal physical war. No, one day there'll be a literal physical war. The Bible prophesied about it. But I'm talking about we are no longer in peacetime. All the rehearsal, all the preparation, all the practice is over. Now, really, we have to show up right now. If not, we will be found wanting. More and more, we will be found wanting because the tide is going to increase. It's going to rise. If we are not tall, we can't stand. We will be found wanting. No, that includes me because one of the words God spoke to me very clearly is this. Don't assume that this will not happen to you. I'll explain to you what that means. Because a lot of times we assume, you know, especially we hear some of the messages so many times, oh yeah, I've heard it before. Is that something new? Hearing it before may not mean that you understand. That's the first one. Hearing it before may not mean that you have lived it out yet. Living out is when you respond. You know what's wisdom? Wisdom is not just knowing what to do. That's only one third of wisdom. Another two third, you know what is being wise? You respond and you do it. Because do know what's happening is called ignorant. Know what to do and don't respond is called foolish. Wisdom is you know what to do and you do it. And when you understand that, you read especially some of the very important parable, and if we are very honest with ourselves, including myself, we realize that actually we are not so wise. No, I'm just being kind. No, I use the word foolish. We are actually not so wise. We don't realize. Turn me to Luke 21, verse 26. It's so important because these are major keys. You know? That's why I started off this few Fridays by talking about some of this. So that you'll be the foundational pillar for us to build our life this year. Not just build our life. You know, the key is not hide in the cave and hoping for a helicopter to come and save us. No, so that we can be strengthened, that we can stand. We have understanding. We have strength that we will stand. Luke 21, verse 36. Jesus said this. Watch, therefore, pray always. You know, people say, hey, are you all over praying? What did Jesus say? Pray always. I'm reading from New King James Version. Always means what? All the time. You know, in fact, I feel that I'm underprayed than overprayed because I don't pray always. Not yet. I don't know whether ever will achieve. Okay. Watch, therefore, pray always that you may be counted worthy. The better translation or the more accurate translation is you may find strength. You may find strength to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. A lot of time people use these words to talk about escape means rapture. No, study carefully. This does not refer to rapture. It's referred to all the snares, all the trapped, all the all the crises that are about to hit the surface of this earth that Jesus described in Luke chapter 21, so that we can find strength if we watch and pray that we will stand, that we will escape. Escape actually is another better word to use, is we will overcome and we can stand. We can stand in such a time as this. The Lord needs a strong church. Multitudes of the people need people who have understanding and who have strength so that we can be the voice. We can lift people up. I share with you all one dream that I had, end of 2015, where I have a dream. I'm not going to elaborate, but this is not about saving ourselves and so on. This is about the world, the body of Christ, nations, multitudes of people need a people of God who have understanding and who have strength, that we, more than just pushing back darkness, we can save people from the coming storm. That's why Jesus said, so that we can stand. If we can't even stand, we can't save others. You know, if we can't even save our own skin, how can we save others? And a lot of time, we are assuming that we will be ready. Okay. I actually shared this in December 28, 2012. You know, I write down some of the things that I say, wow. You know, not what I say that's prophetic, but the word of God that's prophetic. You know, I felt, wow, it's so prophetic. December 28, 2012. And this is the first time I'm quoting myself. You know, wow, okay, great. I say this. That's 2012, okay. Next 20 years will be crucial. There will be a major shift in all front. Politically, we are seeing it right now. We are seeing it. Yeah, politically, spiritually, economically, morally. We are seeing right now. There's a major moral shift. You know. So I say last year that... we are seeing it last few years, especially 2015 is a turning point of nations. Everything turns to the negative. Yeah, and it will continue to descend. There's only answer is the church that will burn brightly. Because the Bible says that way, darkness will increase, that we need to be aware. When I look at wow, no, it's so prophetic. We are seeing things turning more and more to the negative. That's why last year I said it will not get better. But we can grow stronger. We can burn hotter. We can shine brighter. I'm not afraid of darkness. I'm afraid of a weak church. I'm not afraid of the coming storm or crisis. I'm afraid of the church that has not enough fire. That's why we need to understand, so that when we prepare ourselves, it will be our finest hour. Of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's why I press in so hard. You know, that's called wise. No, not that I'm wise. I think a lot of time I look at it, I say, well, I'm not so wise, you know. So I have to cut a bit more here and there and so on. Okay. I continue to say. It sounds so weird. Yeah. I'm just quoting what I say in December 2012. How we hear, live, prepare, will determine whether we will be ready to burn and shine. We have to be intentional. We have to be diligent in setting our heart to be a house that will be wise and watchful. We have to be intentional. Because all this thing does not happen automatically. When I say intentional, setting our heart to prepare, no, I'm not talking about earning it. Everything is by grace. But it's about setting your heart so that you receive greater grace to grow. Because not everybody will end up the same. Not everybody will be as hot and as bright in shining. It's all depending on how we prepare ourselves. Later I'll run through some of the parable, like the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 was wise, 5 was foolish. That's why 5 ran out of oil. They couldn't shine anymore because they did not respond correctly. So one of the great mistakes, everybody said, everybody just everybody will be the same at the end of the day. No, the Bible also prophesied about great falling away. Why some fell? It's because they did not watch, they did not pray, they did not prepare themselves. So this is so vital in such a time as this. Okay, and I have a visitation in, again, December 2012. That's why I talk about that. It's a, I still remember very clearly a visitation from the Lord. I'm not going to elaborate on the experience, but I'm more want to talking about the message that the Lord brought across, you know, 4 years ago. I still can remember because usually my wife will wake up earlier, you know, she go to work. Not that I'm lazy, okay. She's hardworking. My wife 5 a.m. go for a run. It's unbelievable. Yeah, she is someone that does not need to sleep. One, you know. Even fast, you know, fast is like we are on the 50-day fast. It's like kind of like, you know, a bit headache, or some people get too high because they drink too much sugar, or so on. And my wife can go for a run during fast. You know, it's unbelievable. I said, can you give me that grace so that I can, right, but why am I talking about this? Okay, usually she wake up about 6, and then she will iron her clothes before she go to work. I can remember, I might understand. I was awakened in my sleep. Okay, but I wasn't like sleeping or so on, you know, I was in that. I don't know what word to use, you know, I must use the right word. Okay, I just say a visitation, okay, and I heard a loud voice saying to me, behold, I'm coming back quickly. Now again, I'm not saying Jesus will come back tomorrow, but there's the returning of Jesus is imminent, sooner than we think. So I'm excited to talk to some young people tomorrow. I want to prove from the scripture. I heard that loud voice say, behold, I'm coming back quickly. I know immediately it's from Revelation chapter 22. Three times Jesus said, I'm coming back quickly. And then the next question is, are you ready? That kind of shaken me. And suddenly I have a vision, very clear vision. It's kind of, now I think about it, it's kind of funny. Some of you still remember the vision. In the vision, I saw many of us, including myself. Again, it's a vision. I'm not saying that this theologically like that, okay? No. So sometimes God give a vision that you need to interpret so they understand what he's trying to say. And in the vision, I saw many of us in this house. And on our back, all of us have very small wings. Okay, I'm not saying that we die, we go to heaven, we have wings. Okay, no, that's all the myth and so on. I was troubled. Okay, I was troubled. We all have very small wings. You know, like it's kind of funny. I look back, it's like chicken wing. You know, yeah, chicken is kind of small unless your chicken is really big. Okay, very small. I was troubled. And I took a few days to pray, and the Lord spoke very clearly to me, because we are not ready. We are not ready to soar. You have to be wise and watchful. Strengthen yourself. Make yourself ready so that you will grow strength to grow. No, I'm not talking about literally grow wings, okay? Don't get me wrong. It's just it's a prophetic picture that God is giving us. So we have to make ourselves ready. That's why the Lord spoke to me very clearly, be a house of wise and watchful. Wise and watchful. The four words register in me for a long... No, I won't say forever. It registered in me. Be wise. Be watchful. Pray. Be faithful. Until the very end. And cause me to search the scripture. Where does all this come from? Where is in the Bible? Because it's a key thing that is from the... You see, every time you have a vision, visitation, you don't use a vision or visitation to prove a theory. You always go back to the Bible and say, what does the Bible say? Because every encounter cannot contradict what the Word of God say. The Word of God confirm your encounter. So I don't preach a sermon out of a visitation, because you always get into error. That's where I search. And I was surprised. It was mentioned more often than we think. And Jesus basically is exhorting us, how do we make ourselves ready so that we can be strong, so that we can stand, okay? Making ourselves ready is about cultivating four things. I'm going to give it to you, okay? A lot of things I'm going to run through very briefly because I have taught it in great detail. So I asked Annabelle to upload some of the messages onto our web after tonight because I have no time. Because basically, I'm going to run through briefly so that we catch the gist of it, as well as reminding us so that we press in and say, Lord, tell me again, remind me again so that I can be watchful. Okay. Being ready is there are many things, but primarily there are four things. Because if you look at the Bible, Jesus exhorts his people to prepare themselves, make themselves ready. Each time he finished teaching about end time, rarely does he talk about preparing ourselves physically. Primarily is spiritually. I'm not advocating that we are unwise, you know, sell everything and so on. Unless God asks you to sell everything or buy gold, you know, there are people who kind of like being unwise. They're going to buy gold. They say, yeah, it's gold. I have friends who lost everything because foolishly, unwisely, think that gold is the way to go. And believe that there's an answer from God. And totally lost money. Got into serious trouble. Unless God say it very clearly. Nothing we can stand on except the leadership of the Lord. That's why it's so important. Okay, so I'm not asking you to buy gold, sell house, buy a cave, stock up mineral water, buy Maggi noodle. How long can you last? You know, Singapore, there's no cave. You know, then Bukit Timah here will be very crowded. Okay, God has an answer, but primarily making ourselves ready first spiritually. There will come a time He is going to give us wisdom that we will know exactly what to do. Not yet, because the level of prayer has not risen enough. When there's enough prayer, we are crying out to God. God is going to speak. He's going to give us wisdom. That's why God is looking for people that will watch and pray. When we watch and pray, we develop understanding. We found strength. As far as God is going to give wisdom. And He's going to give resources. Because the Bible teaches city of refuge at the end of the day. There will be city of refuge. So four things, making ourselves ready. A vibrant spirit. A vibrant spirit. We need that. You realize that this is where the world is bringing us the other way around. More and more, we become dull. We become sluggish. Paul said slumber. We slumber. If you go to Luke chapter 21, Jesus said, watch out. There are things that is going to weigh your heart down. You know, we are so used to it. Often we don't even realize that our heart has already been weighed down because we are so used to it. So three things, vibrant spirit, responsive heart. Responsive heart. Spirit-inspired understanding. You know, there are people who tell me, Kei Chong, you're saying that things are bad, coming crisis. Where God? Yeah, God is in heaven. Because we are not seeing. We can't see. We are so used to it. Instead of hearing from God, we are listening to what the world is telling us. So our heart is no longer responsive. We don't have understanding. That's why Jesus said, prepare. And the last one is having strength to stand. No, not physical strength. Physical strength, then some of the ladies will have no chance. No, but you know, you say, no, how can you say? You know, like I tried to wrestle with Megan. Wow, I mean, tough, man. She primary five. I really have to put in my effort. No, if not, then malu. Okay, so, no, but again, this is not about physical strength. Making ready is about having a vibrant spirit, responsive heart, spirit-inspired understanding, having strength to stand. If not, no, we have to watch. Our spirit is dull. Most of us, our spirits are dull. We assume that we are vibrant. Most of us are dull. Most of us are sluggish. We are slumbering. Just like Paul many times he said, be sober. Pray. Awake from the slumberness. Because we are so used to it. Do you know that it's normal for Christians to feel the presence of God most of the time than sometime or not at all? Because we are used to it, and worse still, we are taught by people who tell us that it's normal not to feel the presence of God. That's not true. I'm not talking about tingling sensation, foam in the mouth, roll on the floor, and no, I'm not talking about all that kind of thing. You know God is near you. You know His presence with you. You walk with that sense of confidence. Most of us have no idea. We say, where is God? Yeah, it's not normal because we are so dull, and we are taught by spiritual leaders like me, who are dull. So I tell you, it's normal. It's normal. We are raising the benchmark so low. Everybody is, not expecting much. That is the key thing. That's why when we pray for revival, our idea of revival is holy laughter. I mean, that's good, but that's not exactly revival. Because we are not used to it. We are so used to doubt. We are so used to not feeling the presence of God. We are used to slumber. No, I'm not saying this to criticize. I'm saying this out of concern for myself, for every one of us. It's time that we need to know what God promised us. That's being wise. And then go for it. We need to understand. Turn me to Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 35. I'm going to run through briefly. Luke 12, verse 35. One of the clearest exhortation of Jesus on how to be wise and watchful. One of the clearest. Luke 12, verse 35 to 37. Again, if you study carefully, the context is really in the second coming of Jesus. And the emphasis is being wise in preparing. Being wise. But of course, in Luke 12, Jesus didn't elaborate in detail. Okay, he's going to elaborate in detail. Or rather, the detail is laid out in Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25. The three very important parables that teaches us in specific details of what it means to watch, pray, being faithful, and being wise. Okay, I taught it in detail in May 6, 2011. So if you all want, go and get the recording. Or we're going to upload it. Okay, we're going to upload it to the website so that we all understand. Okay, so take me to Luke 12, verse 35. Luke 12, verse 35. Again, I want to ever run so briefly because I have so much to talk about. Luke 12, verse 35. Again, the context is the second coming of Jesus. Let's read. Let's go to verse 36 first. Verse 36. And you yourself be like men who wait for their master when he returns from the wedding. Obviously, the context is the coming of Jesus. You know, the word wait, if you want to circle the word wait, it's very important. Bible talks a lot about waiting. And we need to know the context of the waiting because there are different form of waiting, different season of waiting. And waiting is not necessarily passive. A lot of them people say, I'm waiting because I'm in wilderness. So I say, you're not in wilderness, you're lost. There's a huge difference. Waiting is not passive. Waiting is proactive. Well, yeah, must be fasting. Yeah, waiting is not passive; it's proactive. Okay, when this talking about that, you yourself be like men who wait for their master. Is you are expecting, you are anticipating, you are not found unaware. That means he have done some homework. He have done search and find out and pray. And say, yeah, you know, search a scripture. Say, yeah, it's near. I'm waiting. I'm expecting. I'm not unaware. See, a lot of us are unaware, including myself, is because we have not done enough effort to search the scripture. We still get into this debate. No, why are you talking about end time and so on? Jesus is not coming back. No, we have not searched it. That's why I always tell people when I go and teach about end time and say that, I'm going to lovingly tell you, this is what I believe. I've done enough study. Go and search it out yourself. I'm not here to win an argument. If I'm wrong, please throw a chair at me. But don't throw a chair at me so fast. The other side. Search the scripture to see whether what I say is true. If what I say is true, what are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? You see, a lot of time, we just pretend nothing's happening. That's not wise. At least you and I owe it to ourselves to find out whether this is true. Globally, God is raising up people to proclaim the message that Jesus is coming back. Is this true? If this is not true, then we better find out so that we can say it's not true, so that not more people will be deceived. Then some more people can throw a chair at me. But if it's true, what are we going to do about it? A lot of times we remain neutral, no opinion, unwise. Unwise. You see, I respect people who search out the scripture and they come to a conclusion themselves that I don't think so. I respect you for searching it out. I may disagree with your opinion. I respect you. At least you search it out. That's called the Berean spirit. Let's go to verse 35. Luke 12, verse 35. Luke 12, verse 35. The verse said this. Let your ways be girk. Circle the word girk. And your lamps burning. Circle the word lamps burning. It's so important. Because this verse is a call to prepare and to make ourselves ready. You must understand, you know, what do you mean by let your ways be girk? Because, again, you go all the way back to ancient Israel where nowadays we don't wear robe or long flowing, I can't remember the term, it's called a garment or something. Not the kind of garment, okay? Yeah, but they generally wear, Jewish men wear robe and garment that kind of like flows down beyond your knees. Okay, so it's kind of like you can walk slowly, but to run and to do some labor, it can be a hindrance. So wherever they want to work, what they do, gird, that means, let's say for some of this is my garment, okay? They will tuck, there's a belt around the waist for the garment. They will tuck it, yeah, they will pull it up and tuck it, called girk, so that they generally will lift it beyond the knee level so that they have room to move around. I mean, the key, basically, Jesus is using it, let your ways be good, is talking about that. It's a picture of that we need to make ourselves ready. We need to make ourselves ready. There are twofold preparations. One is in verse 35. One is in verse 36. We don't assume that it automatically will happen. Verse 35 said this. Let your ways be good and your lamps burning. The first one is our lamp must be burning. Our lamp must be burning. That means the key, if you study it, is continually burning. Continually burning. Okay, I mean, now y'all don't learn to light lamp, right? Do you? Oh, y'all don't. You know, last time I'm 52. Okay, you know those oil lamp. Why gonna pump one? No, wow, pump. Do you remember? Okay. Yeah, we got a pump and make sure they got enough lamp. Then there's this what do you call that thing? Weak, brain not working. Yeah, weak, that you make sure that there is, so you have to pump and so on. So there is an effort to sustain. And the oil can burn out one. I remember, I don't know whether Sarah still remember, we went to Batam and so on, and we had to use those lamp. Then go toilet and bathe and use those lamp. I remember one time I brought it into a toilet. It ran out of oil. It's like pitch dark. You know, cannot say, "Hey, please help me." Kind of like embarrassing. You're in the toilet. So the key is that you got to keep the lamp burning. Again, I'll elaborate more when I go to Matthew chapter 25. Primarily, Jesus is exhorting us. The first preparation is that we must cultivate intimacy with the Lord. We must cultivate intimacy with the Lord. More than just cultivate. We can cultivate. But the key is that we need to sustain it. Sustain it. Is it one of the great danger or great mistake or misleading is that we assume intimacy with God will grow automatically? No, it will not. In fact, we will not even grow intimately with the Lord in the environment, in the organization, in a church, in a ministry that focus on intimacy with God. It will not. If you don't do something about it. If you don't do something about it. So it will not grow automatically. Another great danger, it will diminish automatically. If you don't consistently walk with the Lord before you realize you're backslided. You're backslided. This is why Jesus said, let your lamp burn continuously. It's one thing to cultivate. It's another thing to sustain. You have to sustain it. Second, that's verse 36. Second, do you feel hot? Oh, okay, I feel hot. Okay, verse 36. Let's go to verse 36. Cultivate a responsive heart. Don't need to read. You know, I'd rather I suffer than the rest suffer. Because some are freezing. Yeah. A responsive heart. Having a responsive heart. Let's read verse 36. Second half of verse 36. When he returned from the wedding, that when he comes and knock. Now, this not necessarily literally talk about the second coming. This not. Okay. He's talking, he's using an allegory. Okay. The key is this. When he comes and knock, they may open to him. What's the next word? Immediately. Immediately. That we are response. We are responsive. Our spirit is vibrant. We are not dull. We are not sluggish. We are not caught unaware or we don't know what's happening. Our heart is responsive. Jesus is kind of out of his pastoral. He said, cultivate your heart. Let the lamp be burning so that when I return, I knock, you respond immediately. You respond immediately. You know, that's why if you go back, if you don't want to go back, just write it down. If you go to Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Jesus asks us to pay attention. The three things that will weigh our heart down is hitting us right now, globally. Globally. It's one of the strategies of the evil one to cause our heart to be weighed down. Remember, I keep saying it last year, three things. Carousing, which is primarily lust. Drunkenness, in a sense, pleasures. And the third one is cares of life. No, cares of life is not unimportant. You know, certainly please take care of your family and so on. But that can become a distraction. Distraction. No, I didn't say it. Okay, Chong, you don't understand. You're not too caring. Oh, talk to Jesus. He's the one who say it. Take heed of these three things. Carousing lust. Jesus is warning us. Drunkenness, pleasures. I think there's a place for pleasure, but don't overindulge in pleasures. That's why once in a while, it's good. That's why I enjoy this 50-day fast. You know, some Singapore eat too much. They say, wow, 50 days can tahan. You know? I think Singaporean, even 100 days, I think we can tahan. We eat too much. Yeah, okay. And the last one is the cares of this life. Let's go to verse 37. Yeah, I'm going to define for you more specifically, watch and pray. Because more and more, we need to know specific and detail. Not general, okay, watch and pray. But what is watch and pray? Because at the end of the day, this is not about able to say it, able to pray it. We need to know what watch means, what pray means, so that we give our heart by the grace of God, engage God, we can grow in watching and praying, in responding. See, one of the danger, especially in houses of prayer like us, is that we focus a lot on language. So we come out a lot of language, but actually we doesn't go into specific of what it means, and more importantly, respond and do something. Why is watch and pray? Why watch and pray? So that we will respond. Then we are truly wise. Wise is not just knowing that, oh yeah, the answer is watch and pray. It's that you are doing it. I am doing it. Because wisdom is not just knowing what to do. Knowing what to do and not doing it, that's not wise. That's unwise. If you are being kind, or you can say foolish. That is the key thing. Let's go to verse 37. Verse 37. Blessed are those servants when the masters, when he comes, will find watching. Watching. Circle the word watching. And Jesus said, you are blessed if you are watching. No, I'm not talking about sitting there, no, watching idly, no. I'll tell you, don't be lazy. Please, go and do something. No, you always need to have wisdom, no. So I always tell people, I always know people, I mean, I know of people who go extreme about end time, they sell their house and so on, they don't do anything, they don't send their kids to school and so on, they quit their job. That is unwise. That is not wisdom. Wisdom is finding out what God wants us to do. Amen? But Jesus said, blessed, you are blessed if you are found watching. Watching, okay. Watch and pray. Do you know that this is the most emphasized exhortation of Jesus in the entire gospel? He mentioned it 20 times. Watch and pray, okay. It's different. You know, often we associate watch and pray as together. No, it's not the same. It's this thing, but they kind of like overlap one another. Watching is watching. Praying is praying. They kind of like overlapped. But there is a distinct, there is a difference. But 20 times in the gospel, Jesus said, watch, specifically watch, and also pray. And 9 times is in the context of end time. 9 times. That's where we need to pay attention because there's a biblical principle. If it's mentioned 2 or 3 times, that means you better fasten the seatbelt. It's huge. You are wise to pay attention. But if it's 9 times, oh man, we better pay our, what's a better word, utmost attention to do something about it 9 times. Go and search it out. Okay, I have no time to give to you. Give to you then, take my time. No time. Okay. We need to understand. That's where in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, Jesus said, watch and pray always that you may find strength to stand. You may find strength to stand. It's like Jesus is saying that you are wise if you watch and pray. You are wise if you prioritize your time to watch and pray. See, notice I use the word prioritize. I'm not asking us to quit our job and so on. But make it a priority. Like in this 50-day fast. No, I'm not expecting everybody to come every day. I'm not. Some are students. You need to go to school. If not, principal will call me. If not, then parents will kill me. Some of us are working. How many leave can you have? But the question is this. Do we understand the time? Are we wise enough to make a priority that if we can, we come? You say, well, we're always fast. No, that's where we are not wise. And we don't understand. We don't always have 50-day fast. Why we do 50-day fast? Some of people ask me, Kechong, what does it mean to be wise during these 50 days? Come and pray. Come and pray. No, you're not doing it for me. Don't do it for me. It's not worth it. Don't do it for the house. Do it for yourself. Do it for the family. Do it for your children. Do it for this community. Do it for Singapore. Do it for this generation. We're going to need it. But more importantly, do it for yourself. Do it for yourself. No, I never say how many times you must come. But see, a lot of time, we don't realize. Then we always miss the window of opportunity. You see, yeah, 2 years ago, we did 50 days fast. So I always ask this question. I always have this two answer. It's 2 years ago. That was history. Second, did we seriously press in? Did we? And people say, yeah, I do it at home. Well, we talk about Joel 2 lifestyle. Fast, pray, gather. Amen? No, no, understand where I'm coming from. I'm saying it out of concern and pastoral. Do it for yourself. Be wise. Because that's the key. That's why this is so important. What is watch and pray? What is watch and pray? Okay, we need both. A lot of time people watch, but they don't pray. A lot of time we pray, but we don't watch. It's slightly different. Or rather, it's distinct, but it kind of overlap. Okay, I have no time, so I'm going to read to you. What is watching? What is watching? Okay. Primarily, watching is to cultivate, to develop, to grow in understanding of what the Bible is saying about what is going to happen. You can call it signs of the time. Primarily from the scripture. We watch. There's a reason why we watch. I explained to you. But primarily is we cultivate, develop, grow in understanding what the Bible is saying about what is going to happen, signs of the time. So that we are aware and we understand what is happening right now around the world. We have understanding because we are watching. But unfortunately, a lot of time we spend more time watching a newspaper. I think there's a place. I do. Okay, I don't watch many programs right now. My wife will tell you, I only watch one program, news. Yeah, if I'm at home, I watch 7 o'clock news, which is 1 hour, 7 to 8. Then I watch 9 o'clock news, which is channel 5. Then I watch 10 o'clock news, which is channel 8. Then I watch 11 o'clock news, which is Channel News Asia, and so on. Because I want to be aware, but that we must watch what the Bible says and watch with that spirit of understanding based on the scripture so that we can interpret it correctly what is happening around the world. The Bible talks about already many things that's happening around the world. We are seeing it. If you know this book, if you know this inside out, you will know what is going to happen now until Jesus comes back. You will know precisely with specific details. That's why it makes me so searching because I want to understand. I'm watching. I am watching. What is the purpose of watching? The purpose of watching is so that we create a sense of urgency. Not panic. Okay, I don't advocate panic.